What do all of these famous but now deceased people have in common? Martin Luther King Jr., Jimi Hendrix, Kurt Cobain, Sonny Bono, the artist formerly known as Prince, and former NFL quarterback Steve McNair. According to Forbes, they all died without a will. Most Americans, by some estimates, 60% of us don't have even a simple will that spells out what happens to our possessions and money after we die. Most people just don't like thinking about that. But once you've done the work and made the estate plan, you'll find it calming and reassuring to both you and your family. Completing some simple steps like writing a living will and designating a healthcare surrogate will reduce decision-making burdens for your family and assure that your wishes are honored. I'm Herb Weisbaum, the Consumer Man, a contributing editor at Checkbook.org.
Welcome to Consumerpedia at Checkbook.org. We're the nonprofit that helps consumers select services, avoid trouble, and save money. Because we don't accept any advertising or take money from any business we recommend, you can rely on Checkbook.org to be completely independent and objective. Now, here's the host of Consumerpedia, America's consumer expert, the consumer man, Herb Weisbaum.
In this episode, some basic do's and definite don'ts when it comes to planning what happens after you leave this world, tips we hope will save you hassles and money and enable you to avoid some common mistakes. The goal here is to communicate your end-of-life healthcare wishes and document what you have, who gets it after you die, and set up a trouble-free way to transfer it to your heirs or preferred charities, while minimizing payouts to probate courts, attorneys, accountants, and Uncle Sam. Here to talk about all that, Checkbook's executive editor, Kevin Brassler. Now, Kevin's not a lawyer, so this is not legal advice, but he's written extensively about estate planning for Checkbook. Hey, Kevin.
Yes, I'm not an attorney, but we spoke with several attorneys about the biggest mistakes people make in terms of estate planning or not making a plan, which is another big issue.
Why have a will? What happens if you don't have one?
This is crucial. Unless you've made a will or a living trust or assigned beneficiaries to your accounts, your assets will automatically transfer to whatever the law considers as your default heirs. So if there's any ambiguity about who it is, who your direct heirs are or what you wanted, then a judge will have to decide, and that can take months. And whatever decision that judge makes, well, that's going to be the end of it, and it may not reflect your true wishes.
And you could have relatives who are fighting over your stuff. We read about that in the news all the time.
You could, and this is the problem, that a lot of people wait to handle these things. They think, well, I still have plenty of time left, right? And you probably do. By putting off these things, if you wait too long and you're really not of sound mind and body to make good decisions, that's when things get really complicated. And it's not just that relatives might be, fighting over your stuff. It's that your own wishes might not be fulfilled, right? That what you want done with your stuff, that might not happen. And in the worst cases, people don't know what you have because you haven't bothered to document it.
And it takes a little bit of work and something you really don't want to think about, what happens when I'm not here, but it's really critically important.
Yeah. It's easy to put off, but really the most important thing is to get started. I know that with a lot of people, it seems overwhelming. These days, there are lots of tools available to where you can do all this stuff on your own. You can DIY your own will if you don't have a complicated estate. Every estate attorney I've interviewed over the years has said this: don't wait. Deal with it now. Don't put it off. Too many people wait until they're gravely ill to complete estate planning. And if you're close to death or living in a nursing home or in a hospital, at that point, that's not your biggest concern, might not be your will. You need to make the big decisions when you have time to reflect and think about them and make sure that everything's documented well.
Now, a number of things need to be spelled out in your will. Go over some of the critical factors.
The main thing is just to spell out, who gets what and to name an executor who can follow your wishes as outlined in the will. So your executor should have a list of what you have and how to access it. We urge people to create, a roadmap of your major assets. A lot of problems occur when everything's organized online and they didn't really maintain a paper trail to their accounts. We're hearing horror stories about people who have, tons of money in crypto accounts, yet nobody knows how to unlock them. Then nobody has the password, and therefore that money will be lost forever in some cases. When you create these lists, just say what institutions have your accounts, where they can locate them in terms of the companies. Don't include account numbers or passwords. You don't need to do that. They'll be able to get your accounts. As long as they know about the existence of accounts, that's enough. And the last thing is, in your will, make sure it states clearly who gets what, and then update as necessary.
And it's also important for the executor to know where your will is. We have a copy in our safe and the lawyer has one, because they got to be able to find it to do what you want.
And so, you know, we advise that you hand off this document, your will, and a list of, you know, paper trail, so that people can find out, you know, which accounts you have. They know which accounts you have. But it's also important to include things like, you know, what you want done with your social media accounts. Finally, Facebook has like created this thing where you can create a memorial page for people, as opposed to just having these pages exist forever. The main thing, again, is to, you know, keep this paper trail. They don't have to do a lot of detective work to locate these things. There really, unfortunately, isn't like some central repository of information about who has stuff in this country. And that's where things get lost. It creates a hassle for your heirs that doesn't need to be there if you've done this work for them.
Any other basic tasks that everybody should do regardless of means when they're drawing up their will?
Yeah, so if you have kids, make sure you in your will you indicate guardianship for them. If you don't record a choice, then a family court will have to do so for you, and it might not be the choice that you would have made. Before you lock in that decision and indicate in your will who that's going to be, ask that person for permission and give them time to think it over. And also, I think it's smart to name a backup guardian in case circumstances change. It's just better off for you to have, you know, a couple options there in terms of rank choice or something like that. We also hear from several attorneys who urge that we should include in our wills guardianship for pets. Again, the more that you can document your wishes, the lower the chance your heirs have, you know, conflict in sorting everything out. And apparently that's been a trouble area for a lot of families lately.
Something else that's important to plan when you're dealing with end-of-life issues is a living will. What is it and why should you have one? This is Consumerpedia, powered by checkbook.org.
Head to checkbook.org for detailed advice on estate planning and hiring estate planning experts. We also have customer ratings and evaluations for all sorts of services available to subscribers, from doctors and dentists to plumbers, electricians, and other contractors in Boston, Chicago, Philadelphia, Seattle, San Francisco, Minneapolis-St. Paul, and Washington, D.C. If you live in one of these seven areas and haven't joined Checkbook yet, check us out. Get a free 30-day subscription by going to checkbook.org/consumerpedia.
The will is just the start of the important paperwork you need. There are a few other key documents you should have, such as a living will. Kevin, explain what that is.
Yeah, this is crucial. I mean, estate attorneys we spoke with said that this is probably even more important than just having a general will. You also need a living will. And the goal of these documents is to communicate your end-of-life healthcare wishes, what you want done in terms of healthcare. Do you want to be on artificial life support? Do you want to have feeding tubes? There are lots of decisions that often need to be made for patients who can't make decisions for themselves. And this is a massive problem for their families when they're not sure what your wishes are. It's a problem for physicians and medical providers in terms of, if they don't know, then they often will just continue to supply life preservation care that you might not want, and maybe your family doesn't really want either. So it's important to have a living will. It sounds complicated. It sounds like, oh, this is going to be very difficult to figure out. Fortunately, there are great resources out there for you these days. They can kind of take you step by step through the different decisions that you need to make. A good one, there's a form available from caringinfo.org. It's a fantastic resource, and it just takes you through the various decisions, and then in the end spits out a living will for you. Make sure that your family has this document so that, you know, if somebody's not available, somebody else has this and knows what your wishes are. It's also important to designate a healthcare surrogate. This is someone who can make decisions for you, can decide on what type of care you get if you're not able to make those decisions for yourself.
Is a living will the same thing as a healthcare directive?
They're similar. And so what you want to do is, again, the main thing is to decide now, while you're of sound mind and body, what it is that your wishes are and communicate those wishes to others. Again, the good news, there are great resources out there that can help you do this. If you're not sure when you're filling out these documents what your wishes are or how to make these decisions, talk to your physician about it, right? I mean, the physicians have lots of experience, especially primary care physicians, on these issues and can help guide you in terms of making the right choices for you.
Unfortunately, I've been in this situation a couple of times, and you really have to produce that document. You can't say, well, Uncle Charlie said he always wanted to, or Mom always said she wanted to not have a feeding tube. They're going to ask you to produce that document.
Yeah, and without it, again, they don't really, the medical community, right, they're going to take the most conservative approach. And so they're not going to suspend spend care without knowing for sure that that's what your wishes are. And so if they're documented, it's a lot easier. If you've on your driver's license, for example, indicated that you want to be an organ donor, the hospital staff, they won't necessarily harvest your organs without permission from your next of kin. And so that's another thing to make sure you've documented in your will. Even though it may be indicated on your driver's license, that's not necessarily enough for the hospital staff to make the right decision for you there.
So do you need to hire a lawyer to draw up your will, or can you do it yourself? We'll tackle that question next. This is Consumerpedia, powered by checkbook.org.
Consumerpedia, fast facts. According to LegalZoom, you must be 18 years old to make a will. Before that age, someone is not considered to have legal capacity to draw up this document. In some states, you must initial each page of the will. If you're doing this yourself, make sure you find out what your state requires. And if the will is stapled, don't remove the staples, because it will look like someone altered the will, which could invalidate the document.
Kevin, a lot of people, especially those who don't have many assets, do this on their own. Do you need to see a lawyer, or can you draw up a will on your own?
Yeah, I mean, if your estate is modest and if your wishes for who gets what are straightforward, you can probably write your own. There are some good resources out there that will help you do that, like rocketlawyer.com is an example. LegalZoom.com has these forms that you can fill out that seem to be pretty good in terms of preparing simple wills. And at checkbook.org, we actually have some advice on writing your own will. If you need to consult with an attorney, yeah, that's going to cost money. But know that the money you spend now to deal with these matters, it's going to be less than what your heirs are going to have to spend later on to unravel things if you haven't documented things very well. So if you have anything resembling complicated estate, it's better to go with an attorney than to just try to do it all on your own.
But there are clearly times when you really should use an attorney to draw up your will because you want to do something out of the ordinary, fancy, you have a lot of assets, you're trying to deal with tax consequences, et cetera.
Yeah, I think that if you have kids and they're likely to inherit a lot of money, that's a reason to consult with an attorney, especially if they're minor children. I'd say that if you own a business or own real estate other than a primary home, it's best to consult with an attorney to deal with this. Several estate attorneys told us, people, you know, these are attorneys that specialize in estate planning. They told us, you know, they collect a lot of fees from clients who are trying to unravel their relatives' affairs due to poorly written do-it-yourself wills. One joked that, you know, not him, but other attorneys, that they actually really like DIY wills because it generates extra fees for them down the road in terms of having to fix stuff that people, you know, mistakes people have made in trying to write their own wills.
You know, we have a very simple estate, and so we have a basic will. It's really short and sweet, just who gets what. And then we have an addendum, just a letter that we give into our executor. Here's how we want you to divide up all the rest of the stuff between the charities we're going to give the money to. And we can change it anytime we want. We don't have to go back to see the lawyer. The executor has the list. It's my brother. He also has where all the assets are. That was a way we saved on drawing up some gigantic, complicated will and having to change the protocol every single time we decided we didn't want this charity to get the money, but we want that charity to get the money.
Yeah, I think where it gets, you know, kind of more complicated and you need an attorney is when you need to establish a trust. We need to create a trust, or you have minor children who are going to inherit a ton of money potentially. At that point, it's better to work with an attorney who can kind of organize things in a way to where you're avoiding probate court and you're avoiding having kids inherit everything you have at 18. But those are instances where, you know, especially if you own a business and it's not clear, you know, if you have business partners on how things will survive once you're no longer with us.
Well, let's talk about that. What about setting up a living trust?
If you have a lot of assets, it usually makes sense to set up a living trust. It also makes sense to set up one if you have minor children who stand to inherit a lot of money. If you own a business, if you own real estate other than your primary home, that's when having a trust makes sense. It will really help out your heirs from having to go through probate, which in many states can take months and cost a lot of money. By bypassing probate court and having this trust, basically, you set up the trust and you transfer most of your assets to it while you're still alive. You control the trust, it's under your control, and until you die, and when you die, the trust automatically transfers all those assets to your heirs. The trust transfers to your heirs, and that way your family, your heirs, can get immediate access to those assets without having to wait for a probate court to rule on everything. You can revoke these living trusts or change your heirs at any time. It's usually pretty easy to do, but it's usually something you're going to want to work with an attorney to draw up as opposed to trying to do it on your own.
In researching this topic to do the big article on checkbook.org, are there a couple of common mistakes people make that you want to warn us about?
The big mistake is not acting, but other common mistakes that we hear about, by far a big problem is not keeping retirement accounts and life insurance policies up to date in terms of designated beneficiaries. So let's say you get divorced and later remarry. If you fail to change to update the beneficiary to your retirement accounts to your new spouse, then your ex is going to inherit that money because these retirement accounts and life insurance policies, they're contracts and they trump even what's in your will. If your will says, I want all my assets to go to this person, my second spouse, if you haven't changed the beneficiary information in your retirement accounts, it doesn't matter what your will say, the money will go to your ex. And this apparently happens all the time. Another common problem is that people in their wills, they'll get married a second time and their will indicate that all their assets will go to their second spouse, and that effectively disinherits their children from their estate because now the second spouse, now they're in control of all those assets and they can decide how to give them away, whether they want, you know, your kids to have them or not. So it's better to just say what your wishes are up front, to have your own will and indicate what it is you want done with your assets and be careful in terms of the wording there. I'd say a third problem is that a lot of people die with debt these days instead of assets. They die in debt as opposed to kind of, you know, in the positive in terms of the value of their estate. If you are heavily in debt, make sure you discuss this with your executor, because what happens often is executors will continue to pay bills for you once you're deceased, not knowing you have all these debts maybe, and they may be paying those bills out of their own pockets, the executor. And in that case, they're not likely to get that money back, because once the estate is settled, if there's still a debt remaining, well, that just goes away. Because typically when you die, for most types of debts, when you die, your debts die with you.
Well, Kevin, you've given us a lot of homework to do here, but it's really important stuff and it's something everyone should do. Thank you so much.
I realize this seems like a lot of work and it seems very depressing, and I can see why people would want to avoid having to do it. You'll find that once you get started, it becomes a lot easier. If you need an attorney, you know, make sure you're dealing with one that's experienced in these matters. Make sure that they have a lot of estate planning experience. Most lawyers don't. But once you get started, you'll find that it's a lot easier. And fortunately, there are just, you know, great resources out there online in terms of, you know, drawing up a living will and assigning a healthcare surrogate and preparing a simple will that exists now that didn't several years ago. And they can really get you started.
Well, that's it for this edition of Consumerpedia. Thank you for listening. You can subscribe to us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That way, you won't miss any episodes. Another way you can support this show is to follow us at Consumerpedia on Facebook and Instagram, or at MyConsumerpedia on Twitter. I'm Herb Weisbaum. Thank you for listening.
Consumerpedia is a public service of checkbook.org. We're a unique nonprofit that empowers you, the consumer, to save money and make smarter choices. From auto repair shops to doctors, plumbers to vets, you can count on checkbook.org to help you find the best services and avoid the worst. Local ratings are unbiased and accurate. If you live in or around these seven cities and haven't joined Checkbook yet, check us out. Boston, Chicago, Philadelphia, Seattle, San Francisco, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Washington, D.C. To get your free 30-day subscription, go to checkbook.org/consumerpedia. Consumerpedia, empowering consumers to save money and make smarter choices.